And welcome to Flee the Scene, where we share stories and play games about causing trouble and getting in trouble. I am Casey Soska, a.k.a. The Fart Store, and with me, as always, for the 23rd time, Mr. Dave Zabilski.
Hi, guys. I'm Dave Zabilski.
Are you going to talk about that horrible noise that's in the background that everybody could probably hear?
I was just going to do that, actually, and before you so rudely interrupted me.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just wanted to make sure that our goof was about the timely sound of our one cat who sounds like an insane thing just walking around the house screaming. This is what he does sometimes.
Why don't you just bring him and set him on your lap so the listeners can all hear just how horrible that meowing sound
no,
is.
No, if I don't acknowledge that he's there, you don't hear him. We'll be asleep.
Meow.
It sounds like...
Meow. No, it's narn. Narn.
It's so weird. We'll be like going to bed, and then like as soon as we shut the lights off, within 10 minutes, you hear him screaming from another part of the house. Meow. Meow. We're like, we're in the bedroom where we go every night when the lights go off. You've lived here for a year. Just walk over here.
Maybe your cat has a rare... That's a rare night blindness condition.
Oh, God. Why don't we bring in our guests so we can talk about how weird my cat is? So a couple episodes ago, we had on Jay Frosting, who's the host of Pre-Recorded Late Night. And after we were done, he said, you know who would have a really fun time on the show is one of our featured guests on Pre-Recorded Late Night, Jen Bokoff. And I said, that sounds good. And she's here right now. Jen, how are you?
Great. I'm here right now.
Right now.
And it's great.
That's the place to be.
We didn't record it asynchronously. So you guys can still hear that cat, right?
Yes.
I do hear it. I admit to not having heard it at first and thinking this was a weird inside joke of the show that I was not in on, but I do now hear the cat.
That would be the worst joke. It's like, let's start a show with a guest, not prep them on it, and just talk about a sound to make them think that they are insane.
Well, there's also a kitty poster behind you that I can see in this Google Hangout. So I thought cats were just a joke.
Yes, we've talked about on a previous episode that the cat behind me was a white elephant gift and how within 20 minutes of Skyping with me or Google chatting with me for the first time, everybody remarks that I have a big cat behind me.
Well, white elephant gifts are meant to do exactly that. So yes. This one is clearly a winner.
Or they are meant to be Jason Priestley movies for $1 that feature Eskimo murders.
Call back to whatever episode we were on when we did the things. Hey, let's get to know a little bit about Jen. What kind of group crew did you hang out with in high school? Was it like...
The nerd crew.
The nerd crew. So not the nerd crew that does crazy jerk things, but like the mild-mannered nerd crew.
Like the kind that didn't know what sex or drinking was until maybe like prom. And even then, like, still was a little confused. And we did our homework.
So no like hijinks. It wasn't like a big hijinks group.
No, not so much. We were like play ping pong.
No, it's a good game. No, I was also part of a nerd group that we would play Dungeons and Dragons a lot. Maybe some RPGs, and we also didn't do any drinking or anything like that. But we also, you know, maybe made a couple of pipe bombs.
Maybe you do that. You know, I went to a LAN party, which was the most badass thing that I did.
Oh,
so
yeah. Well, the LAN,
go me.
You can torrent and spread around. Well, you couldn't torrent when you would do LAN clubs, you know, a long time ago. Maybe you get on Napster and swap a bunch of Bare Naked Ladies songs.
Maybe you could and I could. No big deal. But
was there any time in your life where there was mischief going on, or have you been a pretty clean and mischief-free, criminal-free person?
Mom, if you're listening, turn this off. No.
Oh, we make that caveat. You also don't have to disclose any time that you held anybody hostage.
Oh, that's great. Okay, I might have to think of another story. But
okay.
No, I was a pretty good kid. I would say my brother, who's only 15 months younger than me, but is like a lot taller and a lot smarter and a lot more athletic and just like totally cooler. Uh-huh. I would just
more everything.
More everything.
So you are the Danny DeVito, sure. And he is the Arnold Schwarzenegger.
That would be one way to describe it.
That would be a horrible way to describe it.
Yeah. It was like after he learned how to talk, the only way that I had any authority was to like trip him or push him down the stairs or like taunt him in some way or, you know, have a catch with him, but throw the baseball at his head instead. Things like that were really mischievous right. for me. And then to lie about it.
Well, if you're standing up to somebody that's a lot bigger than you, even though they're younger than you, maybe you do have to, you know, just throw a ball point blank at their head. As
right.
Hard
it's
as
like
you
prison.
Can.
You got to.
Sure. Because if you don't knock them out, they come back to get you.
Right. Like they're like zombies. You got to get rid of the brains.
Exactly.
Wait, did I just, what are we talking about? Murdering zombies?
The apocalypse.
Well, why don't we move on to. Yeah, exactly, the apocalypse. So I guess what we can get from our discussion of Jed is that she's not going to be somebody that's going to surprise us with probably a crazy arrest record or something right. like that.
Right, right.
Well, let's move on to our this week segment where we talk about what happened to us this week related to crime and illicit activities and the breakdown of society. So, Dave, what's happened to you since we last recorded last week?
Both of these things happened on Friday. It's one really quick one and one kind of quick one. So the really quick one, Jana and I both worked at Green Gears Pedicabs on Friday night, and we got to the south side early so we could get parking and grab a bite to eat before we started our shift. And as we were walking to the joint where we were going to get some sushi on Carson, we walked by this guy who was just clearly wasted, really dirty looking, about like 55 years old looking. But on the homeless scale that Casey sometimes employs, he was about a...
Yeah, what are we talking about?
He
on
was
the
about a six,
here.
Like totally wasted. Probably oh, okay. had a home.
So someone that might not necessarily be right. homeless, but just pretty dirty.
He had about a 35% chance of being homeless, but probably didn't sleep there every night, you know, or probably wasn't allowed back in sometimes. But he was really dirty looking.
Wow, this is a really nuanced explanation of this person that you don't know's living
right.
experiences.
Well, his wife had some issues with him and his drinking habits a couple of different times. And she told him, like, this is the last time, buddy. This is the last fucking
What happened with this guy?
So
tell us about this guy.
I see him just, like, approaching people and being like, hey, you guys, you got a dollar for me? Hey, can I ask you for a dollar? Hey, and as soon like so I'm watching him approach people and like really walk up to him and like say, hey, you know, be like very aggressively asking for change. So I was like, well, I'm gonna have to say no, I'm not gonna give you some money, you know, in a creative or otherwise.
Maybe you're gonna put on some kabuki. Maybe you have a interpretive dance that you're going to set up. That's how you're going to have to tell him? Is that what you mean by a creative
no,
way?
No, basically what I meant was that I was going to have to lie to him in a way that made me chuckle to myself. So what I did when...
That's a very different experience. Yeah,
when he was like, hey, man, do you... I just... As soon as he started talking, I immediately said, oh, no, thanks, man. I have pretend shoes. And he looked... really confused right away to the point that he was like, all right.
Wow. I didn't know that was a way that you could throw off
no thanks. I have pretend shoes.
I've never thought of it of beating him to the punch, saying something beforehand, but maybe you could go up to him as soon as he's about to say something. You go, hey, do you have any dollars?
Yeah. Hey, man, can I bump some money off of you? The other this week that happened to me this week was later in that very same evening, I ran into Joe Case and Matt Boetz, two guys that went to high school with Casey and I.
As if there haven't been enough specific references to Pittsburgh things and different places around Pittsburgh. Now we're going to add some people whose names are of no consequence to anybody but you or
no,
I.
No, who doesn't know Joe and Matt? Everyone knows Joe and Matt. They pop up everywhere.
Two dudes. Yeah. I'm sorry I used their fucking names. Two dudes that Casey and I went to high school with. We'll call them Matt Boetz and Joe Case, just for story's sake. I run into them and they're like, we're gonna get a ride from you later for sure. So I see them later, and sure enough, they hop in the back and I start cruising down the street that's like just off of the main.
Get a ride from you in your pedicab, not in a car.
Right, exactly. I'm giving them a ride in my pedicab. And pedicabs have a top speed while under full load on flat ground of about, you know, 13 or 15 miles per hour. So cars are passing us, and every time a car passes us, one of the guys in the back just screams at them, double yellow line, asshole! Screaming, and they're screaming at everybody near us. They're being huge. They're being jackasses to a wonderful degree. And you know, a car can pass cross a double yellow line to pass a bicycle or a pedicab. It's actually a rule. You just have to give them 4 feet, which the mm-hmm. cars were being polite and giving us the 4 feet that the law requires of them. And but every car that passed, he would just freak out on them. I probably for his own entertainment.
Why? Like just to like yell at them or like for your safety or
no,
what?
For the sake of everybody's entertainment. They were just being goofballs.
Oh, okay.
And then just a little bit later in the ride, I took him a good 12 blocks. They started singing the Who's a What's It song.
The Who's a What's It song. Who's a What's It? It's the song that they played before that Dancing Baby came out on Ally McBeal. Ooga chucka, ooga chucka, ooga chucka.
No, the song by a person who I don't know who they are. So I said, you know, the whoever they are song. The Here's My Number, So Call Me Baby.
Oh, okay. Call Me Baby.
They were just singing that song really, really, really loud. As loud as they can.
These friends of yours sound really cool.
Well, I haven't seen them in like 8 or 10 years, so I wouldn't call them friends. But, you know, I would be friends with them if they called me up later in the week.
And they stopped singing that song.
Probably, maybe.
Yeah, you maybe would call them maybe.
So I started singing along with them, of course, but with different lyrics. Then they told me to take them to Nadine's, which is like a hole-in-the-wall bar that's filled with like 35-year-old bikers and 50-year-old dudes.
I thought you say it's filled with only people whose names are Nadine. My aunt's name is Ladine. Oh, I don't know anybody named Nadine then.
So I'm not going to finish this story. Casey, what happened to you this week?
No, finish the
story. Nah, man, you ruined it a couple times. Tell you this week.
So why this week? You're not going to do yours?
Nope.
My grandparents... I was trying to figure out how to explain this because it's a very complicated thing. There was a whole bunch of rain like about 2 weeks ago in Pittsburgh, right, Dave?
Yes.
It was like big flooding and like whole sections of roads were flooded and stuff like that. And so it was pretty crazy. So that's where my family is from. And my grandparents apparently got their basement flooded with about like 2 inches of water.
That's a lot.
So like not a whole lot, but enough that like their downstairs carpet was like super soiled. My grandparents are in their 80s and are very thrifty. And they are like, well, we're not going to, they're like, well, why should we replace this carpet? You know, it's not even 30 years old. So my grandma just swept out the water with the broom. And then left it to dry for about 2 weeks. My Uncle Benny went over there to go take my grandma to bingo. And he, as soon as he got out of the car, could smell the house. And it smelled like mildew. And he could barely get in the house because of the wet carpet smell. My grandma's like, no, we're just going to let it dry and then it'll be fine. It'll dry out. It is like a big mess down there, apparently. And they're just going to let it dry. And they had a guy come who said that he would redo all the carpeting down there for $250.
Which is a very, very low price.
That's incredibly reasonable. Yeah. But they're like, no, we don't want to spend this
money. No, we don't
want
to spend the equivalent of 10 cases of beer. Or...
which my grandparents just drank all the time.
Right, okay. Or like a half-decent suit. I don't know. I'm just trying to... compare it to $250.
It's like 2 weeks worth of groceries.
Okay.
Out of an entire year. Or a week's worth of groceries out of an entire year.
Do you think that it was more about the money or more about they have lost their sense of smell?
Oh, it's absolutely that. But they also have to replace, because it's going to be the mildew. Oh, it stinks in there super
but
bad.
But it's not just like an unpleasant smell. It's dangerous. Like, it's really dangerous to have that much mold, that much fungus in your house, you know?
Sure.
They know that it smells from other people, but they are also still incredulous as to whether it does smell. Even though everybody is like, oh, it smells real bad. They're like, I don't smell anything. I'm an old person. I know better. I couldn't possibly not be able to smell very good. Hmm. They really should do it because of the mildew. So, and it's also just dumb. It's just like someone's going to have to take care of it eventually. So my parents were like, how can we get them to do it? So they drafted a fake letter on fake letterhead from the county health inspector. So I'm going to read you. Basically, it goes like, dear resident, there is serious flooding in your community. The health department has been out to assess a lot of places and homes and businesses, but we can't get to them all. If you have experienced flooding in your business or home, especially in basement areas that are carpeted and have been underwater, we caution you to be aware of the health risks associated with mold and mildew. We are strongly advising owners of such homes and businesses to take necessary precautions by removing and replacing such floor coverings, or at a minimum, having the floor coverings cleaned by a reliable professional. This is particularly important for elderly residents or those with breathing and other health issues. Sincerely, Dr. Ronald Voorhees, Acting Director, Allegheny County Health Department.
Ronald Voorhees.
Fabulous. Fabulous.
So they just mailed my grandma, my grandparents, this letter with like a fake signature from the acting director of the health department.
That's how old people are taken advantage of all the time, but this is a brilliant use of it.
And like, for their own good.
If they're going to be taken advantage of anyway, you might as well do it for good.
Exactly.
And I like that this is real love. This is your family showing that they care.
Your dad's probably going to not be able to help but notice how easy that was, and then be like, what else can I do with official fake letterheads from the county health department?
Yeah, my dad, professor of social work and community organizer and awardee of a United Way thing last year, is going to start defrauding old people.
No, just your parents.
just my grandparents.
Yeah, just his parents.
If you're elderly and haven't yet designated money in your will, make sure you give it to your eldest son.
Oh, God. One time when I was at NYU, like, there was a super old professor whose office was next to like the grad student office that I was in. And I was there like at 9 o'clock at night working on some horrible thing one time. And I heard her yelling on the phone with somebody from the FBI office in New York City because she got an email from a Nigerian prince.
Oh, nice.
She's like, but they knew my name and they knew that I worked at New York University. It's like, no, but how would they know my name? Oh my God. Like, I don't think this is, who is this prince? I don't know any prince. It's like, use the internet better.
Well, you can't really blame a man. They didn't grow up with it like we did.
I know, but.
Yes, you can. You can blame them. That's just stupid.
Yeah, it's true. There are ways to find out about things that have happened in the world.
Yeah.
If you are elderly.
Wait, what are these ways? Tell me about them.
One of them is knowledge.
Oh, shit. I forgot about that one.
One of them is turning on the TV and being like, Nigerian princes? Are they getting you? Like, have they not watched every news segment that comes on at 5:35 for the past 12 years?
See, and that's where I agree with Jen here. Yes, you can totally blame them, because if you're an old person, we all know that you watch all of the news. So you should have known about the Nigerian prince schemes by now.
Yeah, like my other grandma, she likes to tell me about different people who've gotten eaten by alligators where she used to live in Florida. She doesn't live there anymore, and I don't know these people, but I need to know they got eaten by alligators.
Well, in case you have to go to Florida.
Exactly. Hey, why don't we take a break, and we'll come right back on Flee the Scene.
Hey, how many coffees did you drink?
I drank.
Don't even tell me yet. Because
okay,
I already
know
you drank more than you should have, because there were only enough.
Well, yeah, I know. Okay. Well, yeah. There were only enough coffees
for this.
Yeah, I know. But because I thought that I didn't know all these people were going to be coming over, and I thought that if I wanted to get.
How many shoes are you wearing, dude?
I'm wearing about three different pairs of shoes right now. I got two on my hands, I got two on my feet. I got one of them just stuck up part of my butt, but he's just kind of like hanging out there a little bit. I'm holding it in with my butt cheeks. I've been doing a lot of kegels. I don't even know what you're talking about, but, you know, just put that in there and clutch on my butt cheeks. Gets. Good. Get that tight and then get your shit pushed in. I got these shoes from the Juice Man. He's a man with orange hair. He built all these shoes for me. He thinks he drew all of them on. This one he drew a bunch of crazy squirrels. This one he drew a guy just eating cabbage. Just so much cabbage. Just cabbage all over. This one, it's all green. But this one he made also cabbage. He says, Juice Man, you're going to give me some more cabbage shoes. He put this one on there and he said, you're going to like this one because I put more cabbage on there. And it's like, I know it's all blue. Sorry, I drank all your coffee.
If you don't like Juice Man shoes, go fuck yourself and fuck you too.
Welcome back to Flee the Scene. I am Casey Soska, the Pickle Master.
I'm Dave Wetrag Zabilski.
I'm Jen, born for the horn, Bokoff.
I don't even know what that means. Is that a
horn for the horn? It sounds pretty good. Yeah. Wouldn't be a bad thing to be born for.
You know what? It's a real nickname, so I went with that. Born for the horn.
Well, all nicknames are real nicknames.
I was getting it mixed up with the Hook'em horns. I thought that's what you were alluding to. And I'm like, wait, no, that's not it at all. That's a very different thing.
Not quite. This was in junior high when I was the scorekeeper for the boys' basketball team. And instead of keeping good score, I would just push the horn button, whether or not the clock stopped. Therefore, I became Jen Born for the Horn Bokoff.
That's awesome.
And actually, I haven't been able to use that nickname many times in years since, so I appreciate this opportunity.
Hey, it was our pleasure.
Good. And it has nothing to do with the Texas Longhorns.
An idiot. But you know what? I sat on a Longhorn when I was in Texas last weekend.
Really? How big is it?
Huge.
Elephant. Smaller than elephant.
Smaller than an elephant, bigger than a normal cow.
Okay.
I mean, it was magical.
Bigger than a bread box. Is it a mineral?
Yes. Okay. And questionable.
Okay. Well, now that we're done talking about the size of different things, let's move on to story time for this episode. So we're going to be talking about pranks, just times that pranks happened. We haven't done any, we did prank calls, but we haven't done actual pranks. So Dave, what's your prank story?
Well, it's one that started and happened and took place and occurred back at Point Magoo.
I agree with Jen's face. That was a good way to say that. I thought it was clear.
Well, once I get going, it's hard for me to stop and cease and desist and stop doing it.
That's what she said.
Anywho, so this took place at, I was in the Navy stationed at Point Magoo, California, the same place that the infamous prank call of episode 3, the DiGiorno story, took place. So it was a very slow day at Point Magoo. We didn't have a lot of work to do. So, of course, we're going to get into shit or sit in the smoke pit for 3 hours and talk about nothing. I decided to get into some shit. So this one dude that worked there, Burbo was his last name, kind of a lame-o, big time spaz.
With a name like Burbo, how could you not be a poised gentleman?
Well, we thought that it'd be funny when he ran to the maintenance office where you tell them, you know, how much work you guys did all day and stuff like that, that I would take his cell phone, which he had left on the countertop, and photograph my bare flaccid penis with it, set it as the background to his phone, and then change the language of his phone to Spanish so that he couldn't easily change the background.
That's a good one too. I'm like, oh, just changing the background. Oh, he can just change it back. Or just changing to Spanish. Well, that's a little inconvenient, but there's no pressing reason I need to figure it out.
No, this is the whole package, literally.
Yeah.
A literal whole package. Since package is not at all a figurative reference to the male genitalia. So he comes back. He comes back from doing whatever the hell he was doing with the people in charge of us. Eventually, he picks up his phone. My friend and I were anxiously pretending to be in a conversation of our own nearby, glancing out of the corner of our eye at him, knowing full well that we didn't even really need to glance because, like I said, he was a spaz. As soon as he flipped his phone open, he started yelling like that. He was so put off by the sight of another man's flaccid penis. And any heterosexual man can tell you that, you know, seeing a boner isn't exactly the best thing that is going to happen to you. They're way more majestic.
It doesn't call, like, every time I see, like, I'm like going to the gym and I'm taking a shower there, I'm like, penises! Right. Like, I don't freak out. Like, oh, I might see a penis at some point in my life.
Right. You can very easily and calmly make the decision to look in a different direction.
I mean, there's a penis on my phone. I've taken note of this and will now avert my gaze.
Right, exactly. Or just have a nice laugh at it, like, you motherfuckers, haha. But no. Not Kenny Burbo. He lost his goddamn mind. And he kept like flipping it open and trying to press buttons, but was so like homophobically put off by it that he kept throwing his phone away from him and like actually dropped it on the desk a couple times. He would pick it up and start to mess with buttons, but it was like more than, I guess, 2 or 3 seconds of penis photons hitting his retina.
Once they get in there, all the your retina just absorbs all of its penisness.
Yeah, right.
It's
exactly.
Just like it's like your eyes are giving a blowjob. If you look at a penis.
It's exactly like that. Well, it seemed like that was the way it was affecting him. Like I was right. Actually like poking him in the face with my genitalia. Well,
his reaction is sort of like if I was like reading a biology book in like 7th grade and I turned the page and there's like a big spider on the page, I would kind of freak out a little bit and have a hard time turning that page because I'm like, oh, my hand's going to have to go near this picture of a spider.
So you're also a spaz is what you're trying
no,
to tell
I,
us.
But I didn't like flip the fuck out and start like throwing the book around. I would just be like, ooh, I don't want to touch this.
So, of course, we're laughing. And he's like, did you motherfuckers do this? And we couldn't even answer him with a yes or no because we were like rolling on the ground laughing. Every time he raised his voice, it just got funnier. He couldn't figure out how to do it. And even if he could figure out how to do it, he wouldn't have been able to do it because he couldn't handle the view of another man's flaccid Johnson. So what he ended up having to do, there was nobody in my shop that spoke Spanish or read Spanish anyway. So he had to go to a different shop with people that didn't know him quite as well as we did and be like, hey, can you change the background on my phone from this penis? Or at
question, how many different ways are there to interpret the content on a phone? Like, even if it's en español, which I clearly don't know, wouldn't you be able to tell where the wallpaper is?
No, right. No. Or the language, yeah, you'd think so. And on some phones, you can figure it out intuitively. But my friend Sheila changed my menu language to Spanish, and I could not, for the life of me, find how to change it. I ended up getting a new phone before it ever came back.
I don't know what that. I don't know if that says anything about how difficult phones are to do, or how little, or how little you cared about seeing Spanish.
Right, I really didn't care, and I could figure out most things to do on the phone without it. Basically, everything about that phone I could figure out in Spanish, except for how to change the language back to English.
Did it change all the people's names to Spanish?
Yeah, you were El Casio. I don't know, what is Casey in Spanish?
I don't know, probably nothing. I very much doubt Casey is a Spanish. It's probably Jose. Everything's just Jose, according to freshman year Spanish class in high school. We don't have a name. You're Jose. You're Jorge.
you're Consuelo.
Ricardo.
I was glad I took Latin in high school because we couldn't come up with names for ourselves because no one was, you know, no one's real name was Gaius or Lucius or anything in the class. There are a lot of Amys.
Really?
Yeah.
Anyway, so Mr. Burbo had to go to another work center to get it changed back. He came in back into the shop after getting it turned back, flipping his goddamn shit. You asshole! Like screaming and screaming and screaming, and everybody was laughing right in his face by the end of it. Which turned out to be a fun time. And that's the story about changing the background to my penis and changing the language.
That's the story of a grown man who is way too homophobic for his own good.
Yes.
So, Jen, what are your prank stories?
That was a great story, first of all.
Thank you.
Yeah, very fun. My favorite prank story is one where I was the victim. Uh-huh. But I'm okay with it. I mean... So I used to work.
Podcast also doubles as a therapy session. So you can feel free to get a lot, any fixed baggage from that off
That's
your chest.
That's so good because I don't think my health insurance covers it. So we can record this every week.
Do have a PhD in psychology, but not clinical psychology. Babies walking and crawling.
Yes. I mean, okay. Well, I'll get to that story.
Okay.
So I used to work for the IRS. And that was fun. I loved it.
For international listeners, that's the Internal Revenue System.
Service.
I think I should know. I made it up right now.
Yeah, no, it's great. It's basically your tax collecting authority. And I worked for the Chief Counsel Division, which is the attorneys and paralegals and a heck of a lot of secretaries and support staff. People. So it's a lot of people who are a little off.
Really, you're telling me there's some things that are not normal about people that are working in the law offices of the IRS?
I mean, let's be fair. There's something a little off about most Americans. I'm just saying there's a high concentration in these offices. Uh-huh. So
sure.
This was my first job out of college. You know, I was learning how to be a professional, but didn't quite know what that meant. So it still involved some pranks. And there were a few other people my age or a few years older. And we do some of the little things like, you know, you type on the number side of the keyboard a lot. So we'd do things like pop the numbers out and switch them around so people would get confused if they looked down, which is why you have to know where the home row is, et cetera, et cetera. So, like, that was silly but not a big deal. We'd do, like, it was like when Lost was really big, like, and it's probably, like, fifth and sixth seasons.
Uh-huh.
So we would print out the pages where you'd normally see, like, social security numbers and all the fun tax information. We'd instead print out, like, oh, God, now I'm blanking on the numbers, but the
The numbers that Hurley played in the lottery from Lost.
Yeah, so we'd make, like, the printer spew those out with, like, secret messages to different employees, and we had a few employees who, like, I don't want to say they're a sub-intelligence, but there was a certain level of belief when these printed out.
Well, are you serious that they actually thought it was printing the fake numbers from a TV show, ABC, Thursday nights, a couple years ago?
I don't want to say with 100% certainty because I don't want to get in trouble with any authorities, but I am confident that at least one person who picked it out of the machine was temporarily very excited. And you know, there was the normal changing someone's autocorrect when they walk away from the computer, right?
Sure. That's a great one. Yeah, we used to do that in the Navy a lot.
Yeah, I mean, it's super fun because you can do words, you know, you can do commonly misspelled ones anyway, but you can also have fun with, like, frequently typed things. So, like, in legal jargon, for instance, you're always saying, like, respondent neither admits nor denies the truth of the allegations, as it is neither an allegation of fact nor a statement of relevance. Things like that. That, like,
things that are a bunch of words that all together say a concept, but you can't quite understand it as you're reading it.
Yeah. So the thing is, no one actually reads that when they type it because it kind of autocorrects and you have a shortcut for it anyway. So It's really easy to add a few words in there here and there. Also working for the IRS was an IT man. And the IT man, for the sake of the story, what the heck, we'll use his name.
You can make up a good fake name too. We enjoy doing that.
Awesome. So there was this IT guy working for us. And these are the guys who kind of troubleshoot when something's theoretically wrong or lost on your computer. So this guy's name was Dick. He was sketchy.
I like him already.
Now this part's gonna sound mean, but it's accurate, and I just want to paint a fair picture. He was really scrawny, and I think he had had some sort of medical issue, leaving one side of his body a little bit more droopy than the other side. But okay, he was perfectly coherent. He knew exactly what he was doing at all times. He just got away with things because of this.
Because of the droopiness.
The droopiness.
He has the droopies.
Yeah.
Not to be confused with dropsy, which is an old-timey disease that I actually don't know what it is.
Oh, God, no. Not a case of the dropsies. So he used to parade through the office and would linger in front of certain cubicles, and mine was one of them. I had a lot of cube art, which was just, like, stuff I felt like hanging on the wall. So, for example, one night I went to Drag Queen Bingo at the Bowery Poetry Club, and I had won this pink Disney clock, a pink Disney princess clock. So I hung it prominently in my cubicle, and, you know, he stopped to, like, talk to me about it.
I see you got Snow White up there. Let's make conversation for 10 minutes about that inane observation.
It went exactly like that. And he was also a boob looker, you know, the type of guy who's not looking into your eyes when he's talking to you. And so I disliked this man, to say the least. And there would be times when, you know, you call IT and you say, I'm having a problem. And then next thing you know, they've signed on to your computer. And you could tell because the screen would flicker a little. And there would be this icon that goes black in the bottom right corner of the screen near the time. and your mouse would occasionally jump from place to place. And that's how you knew the IT guy.
Or your computer was getting possessed by a ghost.
Well, right. That's a good lead-in to what happened.
There was an actual ghost. Somebody had gotten murdered in the IT closet.
Right. It happens a lot at the IRS, a lot of murders.
I saw this on Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Yes. Oh, gosh. I hope I can sleep tonight. That show petrifies me.
So the answer is yes, you are afraid of the dark.
Ah, yes, I'm afraid of the dark.
Next, we're going to solve who's the boss.
All right, so basically usually you have to call down to get the guys to like sign on to your computer, but I started to notice my mouse moving randomly without me calling down, reporting a problem on my computer. Mm-hmm. And you know, every time I would see this guy Dick, I'd be like, what are you doing on my computer? And he'd just go, oh, just saying hi, like, or say something a little bit off. But I'd just be like, that's not okay. But at the same time, like, what is it? Like, it's harmless, kind of, I guess. So, like, you don't really tell anyone. But so more and more my mouse is, like, moving around. And I start really calling him out. And he starts denying it, that he's not on my computer. And then I got a security violation. And then I got another and
dang.
Another. And right. And, like, you know, these things I kind of don't take lightly because, you know, when you're playing with social security numbers and like people's information and trying to like be a good professional in your job, right. And you're getting violations from the government.
Right. Things that can get you fired and or put in prison.
Things that will get you put on like CNN when they have to be like, well, we need to fill in 10 minutes. Let's go find out about this thing that happened at the IRS.
Exactly. So I get a little worried and I go in to talk to my supervisor and I'm like, hey, I just want to come clean. Like, I've gotten these couple violations. I think they're on to me. Like, I think they're on my computer. I think they just stem from typos. I didn't mean to do this. And we kind of put it off to the side and it was fine. I was assured no big deal. But I kept seeing my mouse moving more and more and more. I just was growing very paranoid and I replaced my keyboard and I replaced my mouse and I double checked that my monitor didn't have a flickering problem. Mm-hmm. And I had all these open tickets, you know, to just see if I was under arrest or anything crazy. Like, you start getting paranoid.
Maybe I'm Muslim and I don't know it.
I didn't know. Maybe I was on some sort of terrorist watch list and Big Brother was after me. And like,
I shouldn't have gotten that falafel last week.
Who knows? You just get paranoid, okay? It went on for a good 3 or 4 months. And,
Jesus.
I worry a lot. And then one day, the attorney across the hall from me, who's usually very quiet and very serious, there was a lot of laughter from in the office. And I'm very nosy and I like to laugh. So I invited myself in. And it was then that I found out that all of my coworkers had installed a wireless mouse on my computer and had been moving it at select times for different ones. And it made me totally paranoid. And every time I had asked them if it was happening on their computers, they said no, and I should be worried and whatever. So,
no, it's not happening. Get yeah. real worried, girl.
Yeah. So that's, I don't know. It's kind of silly, but it's a prank that happened to me in a very weird
No, that's setting. Like, but that's like one of those pranks where it's like so subtle. And there was this whole other like thing where you don't know what like that creeper dude was doing.
Yeah. Like, and I feel kind of bad for this guy in a sense because I victimized him or I made myself the victim of his like disgustingness. And he still is disgusting. He's still a perv, but. Less so, a little bit.
2% less.
2% yeah. less. It was just well executed. So right. at the end of the day, I'm proud of my coworkers for figuring out how to be so discreet with such a good prank.
And that's yeah. a very good attitude to have about a prank. Appreciating yeah. the craftsmanship of it.
Yeah, you really have to look at the true. Mechanics.
One more quick one. Speaking of computer work pranks, your story reminded me we used to change each other's backgrounds all the time. Like each person had their own sure. unique login.
Oh.
Two of my favorites. One of them was this one dude, Crewer, who was maybe the lamest dude I've ever met in the Navy.
Did you go to like Navy? Is the Navy just full of spazzes and people who prank them?
it's a very nerdy job that we had. We were avionics technicians, you know, like it was a bunch of nerdly type people that wanted to tinker with electronic devices. This one dude, Kruer, I changed his background. I just typed in on Google Images, gay sex. And it was this book cover entitled Gay Sex, and it had two dudes making out on it. You know, Burbo, he might have been the most frantically homophobic dude that I have a story about in the Navy, but that didn't mean he was alone in his weird homophobia. A Kruer really didn't like it, and he changed his background back, but for some reason, every time he logged on or off, that background would just pop up super huge on his computer, and it never went away. For as long as he was at that command, it never went away. And he might have logged into his computer when he went to his next command, like in Washington or Virginia or wherever, and that might have been the first thing that popped up. Another one was that we took a screenshot of this guy's computer and did this thing where like we would move the icons around and then take another screenshot. And screenshot the background, move the other icons around and take a screenshot of that and then make that the background. So by the end of it, there were just all these icons everywhere, but most of them were just pictures of icons that look exactly like icons. So you don't know which one is which.
Right.
And you like have to log into this maintenance system called Nowcomis. I don't know what it stands for and you don't care anyway, but you'd have to click on it. And we'd end up like just standing over his shoulder and laughing at him while he clicked on like four wrong ones before hitting the right one.
I love that one. I do that to a lot of people.
Well, there's a really easy fix for that. All you do is go to the corner of the screen, hold in the left button, and highlight the whole screen with one of those squarey dealies, and only the real icons will highlight up.
Well, all the real icons, please stand up.
Yeah, it starts playing that song. They interpreted that people would really like this prank, and so they built in something into the OS so it would play that song. So my prank story, one of my prank stories, I actually sent something to both my college friends and to like my high school friends who I'm still friends with now, just asking about pranks that we did. And it's incredibly difficult to find actual pranks. Most of the time it's just being big weirdos is most of what they are. But I did recall a fairly traditional type prank that I pulled, and it is incredibly timely because I went to college at Penn State.
Oh, God.
I was there during the time of a lot of the later incidents. But I make good on this unintentionally, but at the time for a completely different reason. So this takes place graduation weekend.
This is therapy, don't forget.
Yes, this is therapy. Oh, I don't care.
Should you need anything?
I didn't get any part of me touched. I said that with a bit too much zeal. So it was graduation, and I actually went to two graduations. So one of them was like a ceremony because I was in the honors college. And so it was like the honors ceremony to get your honors degree. And then it was a pretty big deal, and so the president of the university was there to shake everybody's hands. And there were only like maybe 100 people who were graduating in that ceremony. And the president was Graham Spanier, who has since been indicted for concealing child molestation.
Child rape. It's way worse. Yeah, you need to say what it was. Yeah,
child rape. Yeah. But at the time, I was very upset at him for a different thing. And this just shows that he is a shady fuck. Because two of my friends, my older roommate Ryan and our other friend Alex, who is a girl, were in a co-ed IM racquetball league for a couple years. And they got really, really far down. They were pretty good. And one of the people they were playing in the semifinals was President Spanier and his partner, who was really, really, really good. And he was not so great. Okay. It turns out his partner was the athletic director for one of the branch campuses and was a Olympic athlete and a professional racquetball player.
Jesus.
So they got creamed, and President Spanier won the whole IM championship. And we found out later that the rules were that it was only supposed to be for main campus faculty and staff. So he willingly went against the IM racquetball rules and got an outside ringer so he could win it. And we were really upset for about a day. And then we started doing some other stupid thing. But then I remembered at graduation that he did this. So I'm like, oh, this will be a good opportunity for me to get him back. But I didn't know how. And I noticed that my friend Kate, who I was sitting next to, had a big old screw-off top jar of Burt's Beeswax.
Oh my God.
How big are we talking?
Enough that I said, Kate, can I borrow that? And it was enough to completely lather up my hand, front and back, with so much Burt Bees that my hand was slippery and shiny. So our row then goes up for graduation to get our honors certificates. And we're going up there, and President Spanier's shaking everybody's hand. And I go up there, and he's like, congratulations. And I really get in there with my hand, and I gush his hand up real good with all the beeswax. And then I leave.
Amazing.
And it was, and he would do it in like a pass, so there would be like 10 people that would come across, and I was like right in the middle. So then he had to still shake all these other people's hands, so he'd shake their hand, and you'd see him wiping it on his pants and then shake their hand and wipe it on his pants. So then I'm like, oh, I really got him back. But then I guess I didn't realize this. I'm an idiot if I didn't, because the very next night was the graduation ceremony for the liberal arts college. And the way that it worked is because liberal arts, you know, was gigantic, and they could not possibly have every single person go up on stage, get their diploma, and shake the president's hand, because it was like 2,000, 2,400 people at least that had to graduate. So they would designate marshals from each department who would accept the diplomas on their behalf. And I was the marshal for the psychology department, so I got to go up and shake the president's hand and accept the diplomas on behalf of everybody. And I didn't. And then we're in the green room getting ready to come out there. The person who was the marshal right behind or in front of me was my old roommate, Ryan, and he was the marshal for the philosophy department, because philosophy came right before psychology. And I told him, I'm like, about what I did to President Spanier. I'm like, I got him back for that racquetball, the time he cheated you guys out of your racquetball tournament championship win. And he goes, well, you're going to have to shake his hand again tonight. You do know that. And I'm like, oh, geez. So I was really nervous about what would happen.
Wait, you didn't get really excited instead and be like, all right, I'm going to do black pepper this time.
But he would immediately recognize me as soon as he saw me. So he would know something was up. And I really couldn't feel like I would do it again. Otherwise, I would probably get in serious trouble.
Had you known that you were going to shake his hand again, would you have waited to do it in the big graduation?
No, because I wouldn't have.
The beeswax?
I only had the forethought to do it right then and there, and I'm a very impulsive person, so I probably couldn't have restrained myself anyway if I wanted to. But it worked out really well, because I went up to go shake his hand, and he looks me dead in the eyes and goes, I remember you, and just looks at me, and I go, yup, and then I walked away.
He didn't know what it was. Did he ever know what it was for? Did he ever know
why?
He had
no idea. He had no idea why. No, and he wouldn't have mattered anyway. Hey, remember last year when you kind of cheated at I Am Racquetball? This is for that. Well, when I shook his hand the second time, I did do the thing where I just like kind of brought in one of my other fingers and just tickled his palm a little bit while I was shaking his hand.
Yeah.
So in retrospect, it's like, well, he didn't know at the time why I was doing it, but now I say since he didn't know anyway, this is because I knew about the child rapes, and this was to get you back. Wait, no, I did not know about the child rapes.
Oh, so you were complicit. Fuck. Too. Uh-oh.
I'm editing that out for sure.
Shit just got real. Shit totally just got real.
But I do feel like I got him back for that, for the whole child rape thing in a way, because making a standing president of a university kind of upset is probably never a good move without just cause, and kind of cheating at I Am Racquetball is not a very good cause to do that.
No, it totally is. Just for the sake of ethics, you know? You're the president of a goddamn university. Just play racquetball fairly.
I wish there was this much ire about him for the child rape stuff, but most of the people seem to be fixating on this racquetball scandal.
Yeah, right. We're gonna get the entirety of the United States fired up about the racquetball.
In 2004, a thing happened that wasn't that good. Somebody remember 8 years ago?
But see if they'll strip him of his title. I mean, now's a great time to ask.
Oh, they're going to throw a couple of years on. If I were to send a recording of this whole podcast to the FBI agents investigating it and be like, I have important information in here. Listen through a half hour of goofs and you'll hear.
And you must listen to the whole thing.
Don't fast forward because I'm going to drop some hints. Also, don't fast forward past the Juice Man plugs. That's my favorite part of the show.
Mine too.
Oh boy. Well, this seems like a good place to take a break. So why don't we do that and we'll come back and play some games. Hey everybody, we need your help. Because Jana cannot just go to every single bar in Pittsburgh and take pictures all the time of every bathroom graffiti. We need more of it. And we want your help. So if you have a bathroom graffiti that you find somewhere, a bar that you go to, a truck stop that you have the sexes at, go ahead and snap a picture of it. Send it to us at fleethescenepod@gmail.com. And if Jana likes it, she will read it on the show for her bathroom graffiti segment. So you don't feel cheated out of a bathroom graffiti for this week, here is my favorite graffiti, but it's not from a bathroom. It's from a New York City subway poster. It was for a movie starring Deborah Messing, and next to Deborah Messing's name, it said, Deborah Messing her pants. This has been Casey Soska bringing you a regular graffiti. Send us bathroom graffitis. We need them. To flee the scene, I am Casey Soska, the Underwear District.
I am Dave, District Underwear, Zabilski.
And I'm Jen, the Jumbo Bokoff.
Let's move on to the games for this episode. So each episode, we let our guest pick a charity that they would like to play for. And if they beat Dave, we will donate $5, which is the bare minimum that we can do to get back at... Graham Spanier, who doesn't like the kids, doesn't like Burt's Bees all over his hand. So Jen said that she would like to play for Lyft. So why don't you just tell us a little bit about what Lyft does?
So Lyft is a one-stop shop for helping folks in a community get a leg up. I volunteered for them for 4 years and still actively help out sometimes. So they do everything from helping people get jobs and navigate the Section 8 housing market and figure out how to apply for food stamps and how to do their tax return and connect just to random resources for things like interview clothes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome group. A good thing that we need in this day and age where more people are getting into poverty.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So more important, they need our $5 now more than ever, because actually for people in poverty, this $5 actually does a whole lot.
Yeah.
Much better than we were going to buy those millionaires a bunch of teddy bears. Bunch of vintage teddy bears. Yeah. That was the worst charity that's ever been played for.
Way better than that Beanie Baby collector charity where we send
$5. That sounds important. That actually sounds important.
Yeah, that does sound a little important, Dave. I mean, what are we gonna do when it's the year 2100 and we have no record of all of the different Beanie Babies that have ever been?
If no one knows who the moose is, we're all going down.
That's exactly
true. You know
what?
You're right. That is far more important than facilitating the connection of impoverished people to necessary social programs.
All right. So I guess then Jen is going to be changing her charity if she's winning. We were going to go donate $5 to somebody that is making a Excel spreadsheet of different kinds of Beanie Babies.
Yeah. I think you guys will donate the $5 to Lyft and I'll donate $5 to the Beanie Baby Savior Society.
Whoever is the winner gets to donate and the loser has to donate to Lyft.
Yeah.
Well, let's see what happens. I kind of forgot what we're talking about. Let's move on to our first game.
Let's edit that all out.
Let's edit that all out. No, let's keep it all in. No, let's edit it out. No, let's keep it in. Let's move on to our first game, True Crime. True Crime Time, where I read three crime news stories. Two of them are real and one of them is fake, and I ask our contestants to pick out which one is the fake. You guys ready to play? Winner gets 2 points.
Ready?
Yeah!
All right, here we go. And all of these stories for both of the games are themed this week. So the theme of all of these stories is these are all stories about people and events spiraling completely out of control.
Oh my God, that's like one of my favorite things in the world.
I'm an expert.
Story number one. 30-year-old Marsha Usher of Hudson, Florida, called 911 stating that she was lost in the woods. But more importantly, Usher didn't know where to pee. Repeatedly, she asked the operator what to do and where she could pee in the woods. When police responded, they didn't find Usher in the woods at all. Instead, she was staggering around drunk by a couple of trees in front of her house. Officers noticed a cooler and asked her what was inside. She responded there was beer and a knife. But when police looked inside, they did not find a knife. They instead found a loaded, unlicensed handgun. When taken into custody, a vial of meth residue was found on Usher's person. She is being held on a fuck ton of charges.
Oh my God.
Story number two. Two Gainesville, Florida teens plan to pull off a minor prank on their elderly and curmudgeonly algebra teacher, Stefan Rolls. When Rolls returned home one Saturday morning and opened his mailbox, about 20 bees came shooting out. As the two teens watched from across the street, Rolls collapsed onto the ground, writhing. The teens rushed over to find Rolls, grossly allergic to bees, going into shock. The boys put Rolls into their car to take him to the hospital, but in the back was one of the boys' dogs, and Rolls, grossly allergic to dogs, started breaking out in hives. The boys freaked out and tried to move the dog, who was frightened as well, and started peeing all over Rolls. The commotion caused the teen driving to swerve and run into a huge pile of hay, which then flooded the car.
Oh my God.
Rolls, allergic to hay, was now covered in rashes. Police and EMTs responded to the crash, and Rolls was treated on site. He remains in the hospital, but refuses to press charges, stating, "Boys will be boys."
What a guy.
Here we go. Story number three. Police in Maplewood, Missouri, were called to the home of the mother of William Lawrence, age 32, because of a domestic disturbance with a neighbor. On the scene, police found that Lawrence had an outstanding arrest warrant. When they searched his mother's home after an altercation between Lawrence and the police, they found a large pot plant and a shotgun and rifle with no serial number, all of which were then confiscated. Lawrence was upset and confused about why his guns were taken, so he called the police over five times and showed up in person to demand his items from evidence from evidence custodian Carrie Daniels. When police did not comply, he posted a Craigslist ad reading, "Wanted dead, all the Maplewood City police officers, paying $1 million per head, $2 million for Detective Carrie Daniels." Police have now charged Lawrence with murder for hire. So,
oh my God.
Which of these do you think is the fake crime, therefore leading the other two to be true? Is it the first story about the woman who could not find somewhere to pee and then led to being arrested for drug charges? The two teens who put their algebra teacher through a lot of abuse? Or the third story about the man who wanted to kill all of the Maplewood City police officers? So, Jen, which one do you think?
Can we vote at the same time?
I have to go first. You're going to go first, but I'm not going to say who's right. You guys are going to, you can take your guess, and then I'll go through and tell you. So, which one do you think is the fake crime?
The fake crime is the first one. As fun as it sounds, that didn't happen.
Why do you think that's not? You think someone wouldn't be so drunk that they didn't know where to pee in the woods?
It's such a comedy of errors that it's too scripted.
I'm sorry, more so than five allergens in a row being doused upon a man?
Since 1996, people have been outraged by all sorts of allergens, and everyone thinks they're allergic to everything. So somehow, call me gullible, I'm more inclined to believe that one.
Okay. So your guess for the fake crime is going to be the first story. Dave, what's your guess for the fake crime?
The third one just sounds so unbelievably improbable. The second one was the
bees and the allergies.
Oh, and then the third one was the murder for hire for the
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So the second one sounds completely improbable. I'm going to say the second one's the fake one. Yeah. I can see a murder for hire. Yeah.
Well, why don't I start? I'll take them from the bottom up. The third story about the man who was arrested for a whole bunch of different things that were wrong and then tried to hire murdermen. Ugh, that wasn't a good sentence. Murdermen. Anyway, that one is a true crime.
Yeah, murdermen.
That did happen. All right. Story number two, the never-ending series of allergies. That one is the false crime.
Yeah.
I thought I would put it into the territory of being so incredibly improbable that it would have to be probable. But the first story was totally true. The woman was obviously on a lot of meth at the time.
I thought that the first story was totally probable because I have walked up to a corner and unzipped my pants thinking that it was a toilet. I once told my ex-wife after peeing in a drawer that it had a sign that said bathroom on the drawer, so I thought that I should pee in it. That was me in my sleep explaining to her why I was peeing into a drawer while I was asleep.
That's great.
Oh my God.
That made the first story a lot more probable to me.
Sure, yeah. One time my brother was asleep on the couch and we were all just sitting there, maybe watching Mad About You or Grace Under Fire, some other thing in the early to mid-90s that doesn't run on TNT right now, or TBS. My brother was sound asleep, woke up, opened up the entertainment center. It was like one of those bureau ones that like you open the drawer and then you like pull out a drawer inside of it. He opens the drawer, pulls out the other drawer, and just unzips his pants, pees in it in front of all of us. We're all just watching him pee in the drawer. He shuts the door, closes up the bureau, and goes back to sleep.
Oh my God.
It was the best thing I've ever seen.
We had, when I was an RA back at Tufts, I shared this only because it's in the vein of pranks and peeing. We had a little problem where the freshman boys in the hall at night when they were drunk would pee in a not a Tupperware, whatever a shallower version of a Tupperware is. They would pee in
plate?
That, stick it in the freezer, and then, yeah, kind of like a plate. And then in the morning, pop it out of said container and slide it under the girl's door. And then the pee would melt on their floor, which was a really tricky thing to deal with as an RA. Because on one hand, it's kind of genius and hilarious. And on the other hand, it's completely gross.
I have another one. I probably could have done this for the prank ones. And I'm very disappointed in all of my Penn State friends for not remembering this. But we found out that you can unscrew people's peepholes on their dorm room doors from the outside. So we would unscrew them, and then you could just get like a stir straw and push out the other side. And then we would get silly string or foam or something like that and just spray it through the peephole into that person's dorm room, like 3 or 4 canisters of shaving cream or whipped cream or something through it. It was really good.
That stuff shoots too.
Yeah. So Dave came out of that one with 2 points. Jen didn't get one, but it's all right. We still have another game to play as we move on to Unbelievable Laws.
Yeah. Unbelievable Laws.
Unbelievable Laws. So I will read each of you a set of 5 different laws. And these are all Canadian laws because we are celebrating the 200th anniversary of the start of the War of 1812.
You don't have a music track for that?
I do not have the War of 1812 overture. I didn't cue that up at all. So these are all different Canadian laws. I will read you 5 of them, and for each one, you will have to tell me whether you think it is a true law and is on the books, or whether it is a fake law that I just made up.
Can we call Dave and Graham for help?
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure a lot of these various laws have never shown up on Stop Podcasting Yourself because I've never heard any of these in my entire life until I started looking for them. So, Jen, we will start with you. You ready?
Ready.
All right. In Canada, citizens may not publicly remove bandages.
This is a false statement.
You think that is a false crime?
False crime.
No, that's a true one. That's a true one.
Ah!
It's all right. Here's the next one.
Oh, man.
In Alberta, It is illegal to set fire to a man's wooden leg.
False.
No, that is also false. A true crime.
It's not in Alberta. No!
That is a true crime. Or a true law. I know. All right, you still have three more. In British Columbia, breakfast may not be served past 11 a.m. unless a special permit has been obtained.
British Columbia has the abbreviation BC, which means before Christ, which is a time period that is no longer in existence. So I'm going to say the time period referred to in this law is false.
That is a fake law. That is a fake law.
Yeah! Logic. Your logic
was infallible.
It was infallible.
Thank you. Infallible, but good enough.
In Canada, children may not be buried alive in snow deeper than 6 feet.
Buried alive implies that someone's trying to kill them with snow.
Uh-huh.
Having said that, I think that would happen. But I also don't know what defines a child, because everyone in that country needs to grow up really fast. So I think it's an insane place. That's all I'm saying.
In Canada, you have to grow up real fast there.
Well, yeah, because Canada's so fucking dangerous.
Yeah, you got to be a hockey player early. I don't know.
No, it's true. They're raising an army of hockey players.
Right.
I'm going to let the show Degrassi teach me anything about life, it's that you have to grow up really fast in Canada.
Thank you. Thank you. That's what I was trying to say, but not quite so eloquently. So I appreciate that. I'm going to go with true on this
that
one.
That is a true law.
Uh-oh, 2 points.
All right, here's the last one. In Quebec, Burger King is the only restaurant exempt from having to have gravy available for fries.
How do you say gravy in French? I bet that doesn't even exist.
You don't think that gravy exists in France?
You don't think they could possibly have a French word for gravy?
I think it's more delicate than that. I don't know.
So you're going to say a false crime?
I don't know. I don't know. Say it again. Can you say it one more time?
Burger King is the only restaurant exempt from having to have gravy available for fries.
I'm going to say false.
That is a false crime.
That's not a thing.
Real good. Oh, you came out of that one with three. You got three correct answers. You're beating Dave by one, which means that he needs to get three of these right in order to win. We'll see what he can do. Dave, are you ready?
Yes, sir.
One out of every five songs on Canadian radio stations must be by Canadian artists.
Canadians are an unusually patriotic bunch. I'm going to say on the books.
That is a true law.
I'm surprised it's not like three out of every five.
Yeah. CBC is very particular about what goes on there. And it actually matters whether like it has to be like script writer for the lyricist, script writer, the lyricist or the singer or the band. Like it can't just be like, oh, the sound engineer. He spent a couple of years in Toronto. That doesn't count. Here's your next one, Dave. Talk of annexing Greenland in Canadian Parliament is considered treasonous.
That's not on the books. That's a fakey.
No, that is a fake one. The Snorks may not be shown on any CBC-affiliated television stations.
That sounds like either a lawsuit or an injunction, and therefore totally plausible. I'm going to say that's on the books.
No, I made that one up.
Okay. Well, I still stand by my answer.
In Ottawa, it is illegal to pretend to be a caricature artist.
Okay, I can see that as like a licensing issue. I'm going to say on the books.
No, that's a fake law. Why would anybody care about that?
Good duping.
Here's the last one, Dave. It is illegal to pay for something over $10 with all dimes.
All right. One last ditch chance at on the books.
Yes, that one is on the books. Oh, so Dave pulls it out at the last second with one more point, but
it was a nail biter.
These ones were really hard because I at least feel like as going through them, I'm like, these are sound really Canadian for some reason, but I don't quite know why. Like even the like, why can't you pay for something with all dimes? Like, oh, that just sounds so Canadian. I don't know why, but it does.
I paid for my lunch with about 300 really green corroded pennies that were wrapped up in huge paper towel bushels.
You corroded them yourself? You borrowed your dad's aquarium and decided to rust them all up real good?
No, it was an electrolyte experiment that we did in electronics class where we showed how metal can oxidize from... Yeah,
that's great.
I don't know if this is true or false. It's like a Canadian law or something.
No, I don't doubt that this is totally true.
Yeah. Awesome. So I was like, is anybody want these pennies? And I just wrapped them up in paper towels and took them to school. And it looked like one of the onions from Mario 2 that you pick up. It was like this big bushel with a huge stem of crumpled up paper towel. And I just set it on the counter and they were the gross, they were wet still. And they were covered in this like slimy green corrosion. And the lady was like, I can't take that. I can't take that. And I was like, I don't have anything else. I'm going to starve if you don't take these fucking pennies. And she was like, I'm going to get Janice. And this like really, really obese lady comes storming out. But I just grabbed my tray and walked to the table. And I think one of the administrators came and talked to me, but I didn't get into any real trouble for it.
Duh. Well, they can't get you in trouble
for
that.
They can't get you in trouble for paying money.
Yeah.
Well, no, I guess they're allowed to deny you unless they're rolled.
Oh,
are you kidding?
Whatever.
What's the cutoff number?
This is a high school cafeteria. They don't.
Where do you draw
care.
The line exactly, Jen?
Yeah, I'm saying like if you gave $2 in pennies, like is that okay?
Well, that's why I think it's a very Canadian thing that they have outlined the exact amount of money that it would be unreasonable to do to pay with dimes.
Yeah, Canada's all like, oh, where do you draw the line? You ask. Well, we actually wrote that into our constitution.
Yes.
Right. They're like when the man with the wooden leg complained and got us a stupid law, he also asked for exactly $3 in pennies.
Right.
And that's what's been written into our law.
So I guess the upshot of all of this is that as we laid out before, Jen has lost, so therefore we will be donating to Lyft charities. No, we will, because you're going to be donating $5 to that Beanie Baby enthusiast.
Yeah.
Please send us the receipt. That way we can verify that you have done so for our tax purposes.
Yes.
Also, if you don't find an existing charity for Beanie Baby enthusiasts or collectors or deranged millionaires,
process.
No. Just put up a Craigslist ad
that's shaped like a butt,
saying, "Hey, will somebody please start up a Beanie Baby charity that benefits only them and their collection of Beanie Babies, so I can." Donate $5
so I can donate
to you.
$5 to you. Please go through the trouble of starting a nonprofit.
I am looking forward to posting this Craigslist.
Good. I mean, a promise is a promise, Jen.
I will not let you down.
Even when it is a joke promise on a goofy, dumb podcast that nobody listens to.
You guys, I was
you
totally
just called about
sincere.
40 people nobody, Casey. I'm sure they don't appreciate that.
Yeah. Hey, fire casting people, no one cares about you.
Right.
They say.
Yeah, you guys are dummos.
we average about 100 listeners an episode, so
that's great.
That's good. That's like way more than Judge John Hodgman.
Exactly. Yeah. He's got 16 people.
Yeah.
So Jen, what do you have to plug for us?
Things to plug. I blog at jenbokoff.com because I'm a narcissist. But it's not just about me. It's about things I find cool. And other people do too. So you should check that out. jenbokoff.com. And then I've got shows at the Magnet Theater Second Stage for Circuit Night. Friday nights at 10:30 for anyone in New York. City.
And that is a improv theater in New York City, so any New York listeners can check that out.
Yeah, you can, you're probably, if you're listening to this in New York, you probably already go.
You're probably there already. You're probably listening to it right now. Yeah. Take out your earbuds, listen to this show.
Yeah, $1 PBR is already in your hand, so great.
There
See
you
there.
Go.
And then the other podcast I'm occasionally on is Pre-Recorded Late Night with the host Jay Frosting. and other funny people. Funnier than me, actually. So it's well worth
listening. Oh, you're funny.
To.
They're all very you're, they're
you're
all very
pretty well, goddamn funny, Jen.
I'm the funny lady because I'm the only lady.
Yeah, the only lady.
It'd be like if I were black, I'd be the funny black person.
Right, exactly.
We don't have one of those, though. Actually, yeah, that's my last plug. We're looking for a token black. If you're out there, let us know.
Okay, good.
Hey, I want to give a shout out to Juice Man. Check out Juice Man Shoes. They're custom made, hand painted shoes to your specifications.
No way.
You can find them at Yes Way.
They're amazing.
They're really fucking cool. We'll send you pictures, Jen. You can find him at juiceman.com. That's GUICEMANN.com. Also, shout out to Matt the Band. Our theme song is Matt the Band's Why Didn't You Get a Haircut off my second favorite Matt the Band album, Don't Worry. Find that album and all their albums at mattheband.com.
And as always, you can check out episodes and recaps at fleethescenepod.com. Be our friend on Facebook, facebook.com/fleethescenepod. And follow us on Twitter at fleethescenepod. And get up on iTunes and leave us reviews. We really appreciate that. We're breaking into the top 100 for personal journals. We only have 95 other podcasts ahead of us. So we're getting there, guys, in the subsection of a subsection of the least popular part of iTunes podcasts. Also, check out all the other great shows that are part of Firecasting. We've had people from Firecasting shows on all the past couple of weeks. So they're all great shows. Listen to them. And you can listen to us also on your iOS or Android on Stitcher Radio. That's at stitcher.com. Jen, thanks so much for being on the show. This was a lot of fun.
Thanks so much for having me.
I'm glad that Jay recommended you. We got to hear about the pranking that goes on at the IRS that's a little disconcerting for national security purposes.
No big deal.
It's totally fine.
Some of the IT guys at the IRS are total creepers.
Exactly.
Some is generous.
We'll see you all next time on Flee the Scene.